It is great having the kids come up and helping us out. Well, take your Bibles, please, and open with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5, working our way slowly this week through the Gospel of John. You know, we've had 5:24 up there all month as our memory verse, and I thought we ought to devote a Sunday to that, and it finally came. Today's the day. John, chapter 5, and verse 24. As you open there, a quick story for you. Everybody loves stories. This morning, over the back fence in my backyard, I was talking to my neighbor, and he is an avowed atheist. I've invited him to church many times. Doesn't look like he's here yet again today. Maybe one day. Anyways, we were talking over the back fence, and I said, hey, would you do me a favor? We're going to be away this week. Would you please put our trash out to the road? And he said, when are you leaving? And I said, well, assuming the preacher doesn't go too long, we'll be leaving right after church, probably about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And I said, by the way, your trees are doing well. And he said, yeah. He said, it's amazing. He said, it's almost as if there's something built into the tree that it knows that when one side isn't doing well, the other side compensates. And I said, you know, actually, that's called design. And there's an intelligent designer who sent his son Jesus into the world to say, son, I'm going to preach about him today. And he goes, oh, he said, I figured you're going to preach about sin. He said, because all preachers ever preach about is sin. And then he told me this joke, because he was just trying to get out of like this conversation. He said, yeah, all preachers ever preach about is sin. He says, you know, like the girl that came home from church and somebody said, oh, did you go to church? And she said, yeah. He said, what did the pastor preach about? Oh, he preached about sin. And I learned that he's against it. So there you go. Now you're at John 5:24. That's just to get you on track and share with you. I had a nice little mini gospel conversation with my neighbor over the back fence. You can use anything to go into the gospel. Well, in John 5:24, it's not about sin. But it is about the good news. From the standpoint of the blessings that we have, we who believe in Jesus Christ. Notice what Jesus says. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me. Now, you said you skipped over the word in. That's because I know it's not in the original. It's vital. We'll talk about it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Now, all scripture is God-breathed and blank. What's the one word that goes into blank? Profitable. But some verses of the Bible are more profitable than others when it comes to summing up the gospel. The gospel in a nutshell is kind of the gospel in summary form, in very few words, maybe not the fewest words. Because in fact, there are many gospel in a nutshell verses, and you know many of them. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And if you know these, you can join right in. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel in a nutshell. From the standpoint of God's love for the world and what he did to demonstrate his love, namely, that he gave his son up to death on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 1 Timothy 1:15, it is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the chief, says the Apostle Paul. There's the gospel again, in a nutshell, from the standpoint of what Christ did in love for sinners, namely, he came into this world to save sinners. And there are many other such verses, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, that one has a little bit of the believer's blessing, that we might become the righteousness of God. But again, it's from the standpoint of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. This verse is somewhat unique among all those gospel in a nutshell verses in that Jesus himself is summing up the gospel from the standpoint of the blessings that believers enjoy, and he's doing this, speaking this to unbelievers. Here's a question by way of application. Should we tell unbelievers about how good it is to be a believer in Christ? Oh, yeah. Yeah, in fact, if you could provoke them to envy, as Paul says in Romans 9-11, if you could provoke them to jealousy, that would be good for the gospel. Absolutely, you should say, you know, I don't have to worry about fear of death. I don't have to worry about diseases. Yes, I may get sick, but I'm not worried about dying. I've been delivered out of death into life already. So in a nutshell, this is the gospel. It's from the standpoint of the blessings that believers enjoy, and there are three of them. And they're priceless. You cannot buy these blessings. You cannot get them anywhere except in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they are worth more gold than you could have if you won the Mega Millions lotto. These are priceless blessings. There are three of them. Let's take a look. The first one, of course, is the blessing of eternal life. Everyone who truly believes in Jesus Christ already has eternal life. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 24, most assuredly, stop there. We've got to stop there for a second. As you know, there are quite a few most assuredly or truly, truly sayings. What you might not know is that in the Greek, it's the word amen, amen. I almost wish they had translated it that way. Amen, amen. Most of us are familiar with the word amen. We pray, and at the end of a prayer, we say amen. Or if you hear something that you agree with, and I like, you feel free to do this all day long, you say amen. It's a way that expresses, when it's at the end of a sentence, it normally expresses agreement and the indication of a desire, so may it be. Right? Amen. So may it be. I agree. So amen at the end of a sentence is, so may it be. I agree. That's not the way it is at the beginning. Amen at the beginning of a sentence was actually quite rare in Greek. But to put it at the beginning was like saying, so will it be. It's giving assurance. And when it's doubled up, which is very unique to Jesus Christ, it's, this will be, this will be. You can take this to the bank. You can bet your bottom dollar. This is so certain, no one should ever disagree with it. So believe what you're about to hear. Most assuredly, or truly, truly, or amen, amen, I say to you. And just a reminder, Christ here is speaking to Jews who wanted to kill him. Why? Because he had just healed a man on the Sabbath, and because right after that, he made himself equal with God. So Jesus here is preaching the gospel in a nutshell to Jews who want to kill him. Should you preach to people who want to kill you for what you say? Yeah, you got nothing to fear. You've already passed from death into life. You have the gift of eternal life. Now notice what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me. Now, that is a compound requirement for salvation. Both are necessary, right? Jesus is speaking to these Jews. He says, who hears my word, which is not merely audible, like, yeah, I hear it, because you're hearing my word right now. You're hearing the words of Christ, but through me. It's he who listens to my word, right? He listens to what Jesus says and listens with a welcoming ear. He who listens to the word of Christ and believes him. Who sent Christ? God the Father, right? So actually, anyone who denies the Trinity is out. Like, if you don't believe that there is one true God of heaven and earth who exists eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're not going to listen to the word of the Son and believe the Father who sent him. And if you are here today, by the way, and you deny the Trinity, I would say repent. Repent of your unbelief. There is a God in heaven. It is the God who has revealed himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. But the Father remained in heaven. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me. There's a profound truth here. And this profound truth is that from the standpoint of God, he views you as a believer if you listen to the word of Jesus and you believe the God who sent him. In other words, Jesus speaks the words of God. What about those who hear the word of Christ, but they don't believe the God who sent him? Or they don't listen to Christ? Not viewed as God. By God as a believer. Profoundly, that would be all the Jews who reject Jesus as the Messiah. And if you're here today, or if you hear this, you're hearing this online, if you reject Jesus as the Messiah, my command, my call to you today is repent. Repent of your rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. He's the Christ. My Savior is a Jew. You should be happy to say that to anyone who is Jewish. Great way to share the gospel. My Savior is a Jew. They won't like it, but it's true. And you should tell them what a blessing it is to know the King of the Jews. The first blessing that accrues to all those who listen to the words of Jesus and believe God the Father who sent him is eternal life. Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has already, as a present possession, has eternal life." So is that life forever on planet Earth today as we know it? Oh no, that would be bad news. Right? This is not like you've gone down to the pharmacy and you've gotten this pill and you take this pill and you're like, now I'm going to live here forever. That would be terrible news. Meanwhile, your body breaks down and decays. Meanwhile, things get worse and worse. Right? Evil men grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, like it's like we're promised in 2 Timothy 3. No. Eternal life that Jesus talks about here is eternal life in a far better place with God, with Christ, and with everyone who has ever believed. Eternal life in the new heaven and the new earth, where there be no more sorrow, no more illness, no more pain, no more sickness, no more curse, and no more death. This is good news, beloved. This is the good news of the gospel from the lips of Jesus Christ and from the standpoint of the blessings that you have if you're in him. And it's not just quantity of life, right? Eternal life is not just quantity. It's just not number of years. It's quality of life. You can finish this gospel in a nutshell. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly," or to the full, right? Jesus came that believers in him would have life to the full. And that was said in John 10, to those who are Christ's sheep. This is good news. And this is a blessing that money can't buy. You know, everybody was talking this week about the Mega Millions. How many of you have heard about, you've at least, to be honest, you heard about the Mega Millions? Okay, you've heard about this. So is there supposedly a winner? Yeah, there's supposedly a winner, right? Supposedly. I was getting my hair cut when the news came on, and my barber heard this, and it was so interesting. He instantly went into a story about someone he knew one time who had won the local lottery, like $1 million. And it was a disaster. He just said, that reminds me of this guy. He won the local lottery, and that guy had spent... He didn't realize that it was coming in installments or something. And he had spent more than his first installment before he ever got it. And he just told a story of how this guy wasted his life in profligate living. And that's true in many cases. If you Google, don't Google it now, but if you Google the curse of the lottery, you'll find all kinds of articles about people whose lives were destroyed when they won the lotto. Eternal life is a billion times better than winning the lottery. For one thing, no relatives are going to come running to your house if you have eternal life. Right? For another thing, the media is not going to mob you when you go out your front door. There's no media mob. No Good Morning America, no Today Show appearance. And for another thing, charities will not be chasing after you because they heard that you won millions. No, eternal life is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. And you say, well, how can you get it? Call upon the Lord. Right? What did Isaiah say? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved and will never have regret. You could do that right now. If you're here today and you don't have Christ, right now where you're at, you could say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, save my soul. If you say, I'm having a hard time believing, then say, Lord, help my unbelief. You will be saved. You will be forgiven of all of your sins, past, present, and future. You will receive the gift of eternal life, and you could never have a greater gift. So by way of application, are you a believer? If you listen to the words of Christ and you believe in God the Father who sent him, rejoice. You have eternal life. It can never be taken away. You have it now. The thing to do is to say, man, what do I do with this gift? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? Philippians 2, 13 and 14. Yeah, you have salvation. You need to work out how to make the most of it. But again, if you're here today as a non-believer, listen to this verse. This also is the gospel in a nutshell, but it should be horrifying to you. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. If you're here today and you don't have Christ, Jesus is saying, the wrath of God abides on you like a dark cloud that hovers over you every single day. There's a second blessing, a priceless blessing that all believers enjoy. Not only the blessing of eternal life, but the blessing of no judgment. No judgment. Listen to what it says. 5:24. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment." That's a promise. Shall not come into whose judgment? God's. Now, you might come into man's judgment, but you don't care because you'll never come into God's. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is in what is called a no condemnation status in God's courtroom. Not being judged now and never to be judged in the future. Not negatively. You say, well, all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, but that is a judgment for rewards. That is not a judgment to decide who's going to be separated from God. You have a no judgment status. I'm going to turn for a moment to Romans 8. I know that you know the verse, Romans 8:1. You can quote it as we turn there. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I want you to see how that is. Okay? There is now, therefore, Romans 8:1. And this is basically Paul from Romans 1 through 7, seven chapters, is exegeting John 5:24b. You know, Jesus said in most condensed form, in a nutshell, he said, everyone who believes in him, everyone who's a true believer, who hears his word and believes in the God who sent him, shall not come into judgment. Paul spends seven chapters explaining that and then comes to the same conclusion, saying in Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How do you explain that there's no condemnation? Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, stop there. What is that? Anybody know? It's the gospel. In different words. The law of the Holy Spirit who grants life in Christ Jesus, that's Paul's way of saying the gospel, has made me free, past tense, right? Perfect tense, really. Past act with continuing results. It has set me free. The gospel has set me free forever from the law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? Law of Moses. Ooh, some people don't like that. Do you know the believer's relationship to the law of Moses? Dead. If you have been set free by the gospel from the law of sin and death, you've been set free from the law of Moses so that you might be joined to another whom? Christ, Romans 7 says, right? We died to the law that we might be raised and joined to Christ. And now we're under a new law, the law of Christ, which is the law of love, right? The new commandment, which is to love your neighbor, right? To love others the way Christ has loved us. We're under a new law. Romans 8:2 is telling you that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the gospel, has set you free forever from the law of sin and death. And so that's why you're never going to come into judgment. You've been rescued. You've been delivered. You've been set free. We'll turn back to John 5:24, and as you turn back there, you know, something that has really been, I guess, a discovery, a revelation, you might say, to me in the past probably just 5 years, is how many people live life with a very heavy burden of guilt. I mean, it's like they're carrying a 10,000-pound sack. They wouldn't tell you that, but I'll tell you what they might tell you. If you say to them, do you ever feel like you're just under a load of guilt? I've actually seen people break. You ever just feel like you're carrying around a load of guilt? And they just break. Yes. Man, I hope that's not you if you're a Christian. Man, what the whole picture of Pilgrim's Progress, one of the greatest pictures of Pilgrim's Progress, is when Christian goes up and the burden of guilt is just rolled away. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, receive the good news. You will not come into judgment. How blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered over, and to whom the Lord is not imputing iniquity. Those are three word pictures from Romans 4 about the precious position of you if you're a believer. right? All of your past transgressions have already been forgiven. That's the burden of guilt removed. That's the word picture. Forgiven is the burden taken away. And how blessed is the man whose sins are covered. That's they've been, the hole's been dug, they're buried and covered over, never to be brought up again, right? Separated from you as far as the east is from the west. And the third word picture is an accounting term. The Lord of heaven is not imputing new sins against you. I know it sounds wrong. You're like, that's got to be wrong. No, it's right. You know why it's right? Because Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay the price once and for all your transgressions. This is the gospel in a nutshell, right? Jesus says, most assuredly, thank you for that amen back there. I like that amen. That's awesome. Most assuredly, I say to you, amen, amen, I'm telling you. He who listens to the word of Jesus Christ and believes in the God who sent him already has eternal life and will not come into judgment. By way of application, are you a believer? Oh man, you should be like, yes, thank you, God. I have eternal life. I will never come into judgment. Others may judge me, but you know what? If God is for me, then who is against me? And the answer is not no one. Right? If God is for us, what Paul means to say in Romans 8, this is gospel in a nutshell, right? If God be for us, then who can be against us? The answer is, it doesn't matter. The whole world could be against us, but God is for us, and so we don't care. Right? Who is he who condemns? Doesn't matter. It is God who justifies. And the reason there's no condemnation for those in Christ is because God justifies the ungodly who believe in Jesus Christ. He does it freely by his grace through the propitiation or the redemption found in Christ Jesus, and he does it through faith. Romans 3:24, gospel in a nutshell. This is good news, beloved. And the best is yet to come. Last, finally. Because you might wonder, man, I know it's so good. I love being a Christian, but I'm just so afraid that I might lose it. What? You can't lose your salvation. Look at the last line. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, as in already, everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but has already passed out of death and into life. I mean, Jesus could not make eternal security more clear than he does here. Never believe the false teachers and those who have a false gospel who will say, well, it's only yours as long as you cling to it, because it's like a key, and if you let go even for a moment, why, you could lose your eternal salvation. That is a false gospel right out of the pit of hell. And there are people who preach it. Shame on them. Shame on them. And then, boy, then they got to do all kinds of exegetical gymnastics when they come to John 5:24 to squirm out of the words of Jesus Christ, who is saying to you that you can never lose your salvation. People say, oh, do you believe in once saved, always saved? You know what you say to that, by the way? Don't give an easy yes. They say, do you believe in once saved, always saved? I go, well, what do you mean? Well, as long as somebody's made a profession of faith, then they're saved. No, I don't believe that. Because making a profession of faith is not salvation. Right? So be careful that you don't say, yeah, once saved, always saved. Because most people, what they mean by that is if when you were five, you walked an old-fashioned aisle, went down front, signed the card, and made a profession, why then, if you live a godless life for the rest of your days, you're in. No, that is not what the Bible teaches. However, rightly understood, I believe once saved, always saved. If you truly, by the grace of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, have been born again, if the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you, if you're truly saved, you're never getting unsaved. Look at John 10. Turn over to John 10. You just got to reinforce these things. You've got to see what Jesus says. I know you know it. John 10, 27. My sheep. Who's that? The sheep of Jesus, believers. They hear my voice. They listen to Christ's words. And if you're his sheep, you're listening now. And Jesus says, and I know them. That means he knows them intimately, knows them personally, has a relationship with them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Now, if you're a sheep of Jesus, you hear that and you believe it, and you say, I believe it. I will never perish. I will never be separated away from God in a place called hell. Not going there. I won't even be outside the kingdom. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus could not be more clear about eternal security. I like what one commentator said. Here we have in unmistakable terms the words of Jesus Christ himself that no true sheep of Jesus Christ will ever be lost. Now, you know what the false teachers say here, right? You know what they say? You probably do. They say, well, notice, it says, neither shall anyone snatch him out of my hand, but you yourself could snatch yourself right out of the hands of Jesus. I go, okay, well, then you're a no one, which makes you a nobody, which means you couldn't do it. You know, that's just ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. It would make you stronger than God the Father and God the Son. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie, number one, that somehow if you're a believer in Christ, you don't already have eternal life. No, you already do, as a present, permanent possession. Don't believe the lie that somehow you could come into the judgment of God in the latter days, because if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't. You have the promise of Christ. Shall not come into judgment, no condemnation. It sounds too good to be true. It does sound too good to be true, but it's true. God is not judging you. Even if you stumble into sin, if you're his child, he's not judging you. He may chasten you to get you back on track so that you could share in his holiness, but he's not going to condemn you ever. And you have already passed, back to John 5:24, final words of this verse, has passed, that has already passed out of from the state of death into life. Now, why you say, why does he bring up death here? Because if you're not a believer, that's where you are. And if you used to be a non-believer and now you're a believer, we used to be there too. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who now works in the sons of disobedience, and that's pretty close to Ephesians 2:1 and following, right? Among whom we all formerly walked, according to the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. That description in Ephesians 2:1-3 is the description of everyone who is outside of Christ. Dead in sins, under the power of the devil, fulfilling the desires of their own fleshly minds, and a child of wrath. That is a child headed for the wrath of God. And let me say again, if you're here today and you don't have Christ, don't leave without Christ. I tell you, I beg you, I warn you, don't leave without Christ. Because you know the Bible says that if you are not a believer, not only are you under the black cloud of God's wrath now, but every day that goes by, you're storing up more wrath that's going to be poured out on your head in the day of judgment. Read Romans 2:4-5. You are treasuring up more and more wrath for yourself in the day of the revelation of God's righteous judgment. Don't leave here without Christ. How could you leave here not wanting eternal life, not wanting a no condemnation status, and not wanting to know that you've already passed out of death and into life? But if you're here today and you're a believer, you should go, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, God, for eternal life. Thank you that you're not condemning me. And here's good news for the believer, right? This is not the good news for the unbeliever. This is good news for the believer. We often quote it wrongly. What if we sin? If anyone confesses his sin, then he, Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's the good news for believers. This is so that we can stay in fellowship with God. So listen, beloved, I know every one of you came here this morning with a burden on your heart. Probably every one of you. Something worries you. You're anxious about something. Maybe you're struggling in your relationship with somebody in this room. Maybe you're struggling with something you said or did this week. Maybe things aren't going so well at home. Maybe you're having financial trouble, marriage trouble. I don't know. Maybe you're just having personal trouble in your walk with Christ. Listen, Christ sent me here today to speak to you and to remind you of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are blessed. You are so blessed. You already have eternal life. You're never going to come into judgment. There's no condemnation from God for you who are in Christ Jesus. You've already passed out of death and into life. Whatever problem you're going through right now, may it pale in comparison to the good news. And may it motivate you to do what Christ has called us to do, which is what? Love one another. If you're here today and you've broken relationships with those around you in this church, repair them today. Is he not worthy of that? Is he not worthy that today you should go to somebody you've offended and say, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And that brother or sister is going to forgive you. I'm serious about this. If you're here today and you know that you have a broken relationship with someone else in this room, today is the day for you, in response to the gospel, to present yourself a living sacrifice. Go to that person whom you have wronged or offended or with whom you do not have a right relationship and repair it today. You say, oh, well, that person's not here, so I'll put it up. No, call them. Text them. Reach out. You take the initiative and say, listen, I want us to be on good terms. Please forgive me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for this good news. Thank you for eternal life in Jesus Christ. Thank you for judging him for our sins. Thank you for taking us out of darkness and bringing us into light. Thank you for taking us out of death and bringing us into life. May we walk now as children of light. And may we reach out to those who don't have the gospel. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.